Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Song just hits a little different on a playoff football Friday, doesn't it? We're going to call it a playoff football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR on a Buffalo playoff football Friday, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. All right. Okay, this is the how we start every Friday with this song. But I need to even more get into this show. I need to get you into the show. We're ready to do this together. We're going to hang out for 2 hours. We got to have the best show possible. We got to get ready for Sunday. Bills, Broncos. All right. So what better way to do it? I know you've heard it a couple times this morning. We're going to do it right now. Here's Kyle Williams, the legend of the game, to get us ready for Sunday's game and for this show specifically today.
On the way out, I'm serious. Grab one guy and grab him and tell him, you hold me accountable to the kind of focus we want, the kind of energy we want, the kind of effort we want. When you speak that out loud and you tell somebody and they hold you accountable to that, that's powerful.
Yes, sir.
I'm asking you just to talk to one. I'll stand here in front of 52. I'll play my out for you.
Yes, sir.
Every play, as much as I got, I'm going to give it to you. Tell one guy on the way out, all right? Let's go prove something to ourselves, the kind of team we can be. Defense, play 60 minutes, dominate. Offense, we get up, close the Bengal game out. Special teams, big plays for us and against them. Let's go, all phases. Let's be the team that we can be.
Let's go. 60 minutes now.
Pound that rock, go 3. 1, 2, 3, pound that rock.
Let's go! I'm 51 with a pacemaker and I'm ready to go, baby. It's revving up, I can feel it. Pounded in that heart. Man, I got to check my monitor, make sure I'm not getting too high here. Actually, I have the best, my pacemaker is great because actually it's set so I don't have my heart go too low. The higher, the better for me. This is great. Josh is laughing over there. It's true. The higher, the better. I got to keep that heart rate up, baby. I'm going to have Kyle Williams wake me up every morning. I'm calling my cardiologist today. And I'm like, hey, I'm playing Kyle's speech every morning. I'll have a high heart rate. I'm good. How can you not get up for this? How can you not be ready for Sunday? Playoff football in Buffalo. We're going to talk all about it today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. Sal Capaccio with you. Oh, and did I scare you over there? I don't even know. You're over there going, what is Sal doing? He's crazy in that studio. I know, right? Welcome in, everybody. It is the Football Friday, Buffalo Football Friday. It's a playoff Football Friday, and we got a lot to get to today. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, joining me in about an hour. Now, they do have a production meetings going on today. It's a national game. You got Jim Nance and Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson in town for the game. Whether they're here or not, I
don't know yet, but I mean, they'll be calling the game, but I know they have production meetings with CBS and all those things, so we'll massage it as we can as we go along with Sean McDermott right around 11 o'clock today. And then at 11:30, Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist, will join us for the weather and the outlook on Sunday, which as of right now, I'm thinking looks like good football weather. It's going to be cold. Not too cold, though. We've had colder. We are also going to talk about all of the other playoff games that are being played outdoors and the one that is getting moved, unfortunately. And we need to say all of our thoughts here go out to everybody impacted in directly, indirectly, but of course all those in the line of the fires at in L.A., Pacific Palisades. I know a lot of people listening have family or friends that may be impacted, and I do as well. And we're thinking about all of them. It's a devastating, horrible, tragic situation going on in Los Angeles and the surrounding area. And the NFL has moved Monday night's Vikings at Rams game to Arizona, where the Cardinals play. So because of the fires and everything going on there, and you know, giving a chance for first responders to do their job. So we'll talk with Pat Hammer about that, why this happened, why it's happening, what's going to happen, or at least you know what the outlook is for the weather there. And of course, we'll get into Sunday's weather here in Buffalo and even talk about, because we do this, we are on the radio. We are allowed to look ahead a little bit. Other, you know, the players can't, the coaches can't, we can. We will talk a little bit about if the Bills were to advance, what would next weekend look like? Because quite frankly, I hear from a lot of people and say, Sal, thinking of coming up for the game if they make it to the second round. I think you'd want to know that, right? So there's a lot to get to on that front. We want to preview this game as well. And I've been really digging into a lot of the stats on both sides of the ball that some concern me for the Bills and some really encourage me for the Bills and their chances in this game. We will take your phone calls as well. 803-0550. Let's open it up. I have an hour of open phone lines here for you. An hour of open phone lines. And in between the open phone line segment, I'll get into the other playoff games, how I see everything kind of unfolding and shaking out, what it means for next weekend if the Bills were to advance. I have some more thoughts on the MVP race. Yes, I know it's done. Votes had to be in, ballots had to be in, but there's still a lot of chirping going on out there about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. There's some other things. And I want to be the guy here today, as I try to do all the time, to bring a little common sense to this conversation and to even go more beyond what I talked about a couple weeks ago, which is let's stop bashing these two players and start really appreciating how great they both are. I'm going to go beyond that today. And what I want to talk about is, and I will a little bit later, what should matter and what shouldn't matter when it comes to MVP. Because a lot of stuff out there, people are telling me, oh, this should matter. Nah, that shouldn't. But this should, and maybe you don't. Here's what I think should and shouldn't. We'll do that. Speaking of bringing common sense to things, holy cow. This hiring coaches and the calendar, we got to talk about this a little bit. I tweeted out yesterday, at Sal Sports, by the way, on Twitter, Facebook, Blue Sky, and of course at the Sal Sports YouTube page. You can check all of our podcasts there with me and Matt Bove. It's always game day in Buffalo. I tweeted out yesterday that, you know, it's not just the Bills with Joe Brady dealing with interviews. The Ravens, Todd Monken, he's going to be dealing with interviews if they advance on and they're playing at the Bills. And there's no, what I wrote was, there's no easy solution to all of this. And I got a lot of people saying, oh yeah, there's an easy solution. Just have one date. They can't do it till after the season. No. Maybe easy is the wrong word for me. It's not fair. And I'll explain why it's not fair. And I'd like you to kind of try to work with me if you believe that that's just the solution that should happen and it's fair and it's easy. We need to do some critical thinking on this, and I'll explain why. The Denver Broncos are coming to town. They are traveling, my understanding, later today. The game is on Sunday. Head coach Sean Payton for the Broncos is very, very much about sports science and body clocks and rest and recovery and how that plays into game times and travel times and all that. And I thought that might be the case, so I inquired. And from my understanding, what I understand is the Broncos are traveling here tonight. They'll get in kind of late in Buffalo tonight. And then they'll be here all day tomorrow, wherever they practice, whatever they do. I'm not sure. They're not going to the Bills facility to practice. I could probably guarantee you that. I don't know. I don't know what that plan is. But I do know they're coming in later tonight. They'll be here all day tomorrow. And then the game is, for their body clocks, 11 a.m. on Sunday. There is data to show when West teams, West Coast generally, but this is a Western team, when West teams travel east for an early 1 o'clock game, they don't perform well. So, hey, Sean Payton is like, we don't want to be that team. We want to perform well. So he has in his mind how he wants to go two time zones to the east to play a game at Sunday at 1 o'clock. And that apparently involves traveling tonight to Buffalo. So just to kind of let you know, that's from their side. Also, I did read today, apparently one of the airlines has, United, I believe it is, has actually added a Denver to Buffalo flight tomorrow for Broncos fans. So we've talked about this with Bills fans in the past, how when the Bills go to Kansas City, or I think it was even Houston this year, that there were extra flights added. There was an extra flight added from Buffalo to that city for all the Bills fans. Well, apparently in this case, there's a bunch of Broncos fans coming. Hey, good for them. They're a good fan base. I have a lot of respect for the Broncos fan base. I remember growing up in the 1980s, just like the Bills, they went to Super Bowls and lost. They went to two and lost. Three. They went to three and lost, excuse me, before the Bills ever went to four and lost, right? They went in, let me get this right, they went in 86 and lost to the Giants. They went in 87 and lost to the then Washington Redskins. And they went in 89 and lost to the Niners, all with John Elway. So the Broncos had lost three Super Bowls, and they had one before that that gave them four losses. That was in the 70s. But they had 3 out of 5 years they went to the Super Bowl and lost. And then the Bills went to their four in a row and lost. So you had these teams, these quarter with these great quarterbacks, and John Elway and Jim Kelly. And then they battled in the 90s in one of those years. The famous 1991 AFC Championship game, January of 92, when Carlton Bailey picked off John Elway on a screen pass he batted, ran it in, and the Bills won 10-7. In that game, their kicker, the Broncos kicker, David Treadwell, missed, I believe, three kicks. I have to go back and look. I think he missed three field goals. I have to go back and look to make sure. But, like, that was the difference in the game. I've had, all of this said, I just think there's always been this kind of kinship, maybe, if you will, between Broncos and Bills and the suffering they had. But then the difference was the Broncos went on and actually won the Super Bowl in the late 90s a couple of times. And those were Elway's last 2 years. And he finally got one for the class of 83 to represent for Jim Kelly and Dan Marino and that famed quarterback class. And they got their Super Bowls. And then, of course, later on, they get Peyton Manning. They go and lose one. They win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. And in that time period, they also get an NHL Stanley Cup. And then a couple more. And then they get an NBA championship. So I think we're pretty far removed from what the 80s were like between the two cities and rooting for their fan base. And by the way, we also had the Bandits match up with the Mammoth in La Crosse. And I think they had 1-1, and then the Bandits had 1-1, if I remember correctly how it all went down. But we've had a lot of kind of similarities between the two cities. And then, of course, they started winning championships, and it's been a little bit different. But here we are again, the Broncos, they've gone through a 10-year playoff drought, and now they're back, and they have a rookie quarterback who is looking pretty promising. I've always had a lot of respect for the Broncos fan base, the Broncos kind of organization, and being, yeah, Denver's a bigger city, but it, again, it's not Chicago, New York, L.A. I think there's a lot to be said for how they treat and appreciate their team the same way here in Buffalo that we do. So, to me, this should be a fun game between two really good, passionate fan bases. That being said, the Bills are the better team, and they need to win this game. I have gone on several Denver radio stations this week and national radio shows, and I've been asked this question a few times, which is, are Bills fans nervous about this game? Or are they overlooking the Broncos and saying, okay, looking past them, they're going to take care of them. And my answer to that is, I think, of course, there's some in the fan base that go, oh, this should be easy. I don't think the majority of fan base, whatever. But some people are always going to have differing opinions at all levels on that. But as far as the nervousness, here's my answer on that. This is what I feel. And then you tell me what you feel. And we're going to take calls on this. 803-0550. I want to get your nervousness level for this game. Here's my interpretation from all of you. From what I read. At Sal Sports, other places, but we're going to get your calls on this. I describe it as, I don't think Bills fans are necessarily nervous about losing this game, like the matchup itself. Sure, the Broncos pose some interesting threats, some tough matchups. There's no doubt. You know, great pass rush and Patrick Surtain. No doubt about that. It's not the nervousness of just, oh my God, we're playing the Broncos. I mean, that's going to happen if they play the Ravens, right? That's like, oh my God, can we beat this team? It's a terrible matchup. I don't think Bills fans think it's a bad matchup. I just think there's nervousness about losing the game and ending your season and having this utter disappointment after such a great season once again. After getting there in now 7 of the last 8 years and 6 out of the last 7 not getting to your ultimate goal, especially the last, what, 3-4 years, right? I just think that's where the nervousness comes in. It's not, oh my God, nervous. They're playing the Broncos. They're really good. Look at this quarterback. Look at that pass rush. Look at Sean Payton. Sure, there's a little bit of that in there that they do. To me, it's more nervousness of, you have a lot of pressure here. You got to win this game. This is pressure on Sean McDermott, pressure on Josh Allen, pressure on this organization to finally get to where you're supposed to go. And it's got to start this week against a team that you're better than, a team that you should put away, a team that you're 8.5, 9-point favorites against. That's where the nervousness comes in, I think, for Bills fans. To me, the Bills are the better team. They need to win this game. Simple as that. You get to this point of the season, you're at home, you're the better team, you can't lose this game. You can't. And I think the Bills will win. I think it could go one of two ways. I've envisioned it in my head as they'll keep it a little closer to the vest. Don't give the Broncos opportunities. That's their path to victory. Don't let them have the ball on a turnover, an interception, a boneheaded play, something like that. And, you know, you get out of there and say, ah, workmanlike win. Let's on to next week. I could also see it going, the Broncos are going to try everything they can to be very aggressive and say, we have nothing to lose, and the Bills can take advantage of that and make big plays, and suddenly it's, you know, 20-0 in the, you know, at halftime. Something like that, right? Like, that's just, it's a blowout. I could see both those things happening. It's hard for me to envision the Broncos winning, but there is a path there for it. And that's what scares you, which is, it's not them themselves, it's not that team and what they pose as their threat necessarily. To me, it's just, you can't lose this game, and if you do, what does it sound like Monday morning when I walk in here and do the reaction show on Monday? That's what I think about. That's the nervousness. 803-0550. What is your nervousness level for this game specifically, whether it's the specific matchup or just overall, here we are again, here we go again, you got to get past this game. Let's get started off with Mike in Connecticut. Hi, Mike, you're on WGR.
Morning, Sal. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
First and foremost, I want to thank you for your time when I saw you at the Patriots game, signing my hat, having a conversation with me. That was a great experience. I just want to thank you for your time. In terms of nervousness, I'm actually, spur of the moment, live 8 hours away. I bought tickets yesterday to go to the game, so actually making the trip. But on a 10 being very nervous, 0, not nervous at all. I'm about a 2-3 right now, and the main reason I say that is when you look at the Bills from a health perspective, last year when the Bills were playing the Chiefs in the playoffs, I was actually at that game too. We have had both of our starting linebackers out, no Milano, no Bernard. Our cornerback one, Christian Benford's out. Rasul Douglas was basically on one leg. Just a lot of injuries for us that kind of piled up throughout the season, where this year, yesterday at practice, you have Brandon Codrington as a limited participant, and you also have Jamarcus Ingram, the only player who did not practice. So my confidence level is, or I should say my nervousness level is very low, just from the sense that I feel like if the Bills play sound football, they have their guys, they're going to make the right plays. The only thing that does, you know, present a little nervousness for me is Sean Payton and Marvin Mims on special teams.
Yeah.
You know, this is the same Sean Payton that in the Super Bowl did an onside kick to open up the second half, and Marvin Mims being an all-pro returner, it's something that, you know, that could swing the game in a direction against the Bills. But a question I have for you is, what is something that makes you feel nervous about this game? Also, something I looked at is Bo Nix hitting the running backs out of the backfield as one of his main targets. But I'll hang up and listen, but I just want to thank you for your time again at the game on Sunday when I saw you, and go Bills.
Yeah, you got it, Mike. Anytime. I appreciate people coming up to me and saying hello. Listen, I've said this a lot this week. Remember last week I said, look, We didn't know they were playing the Broncos yet. I said, if the Bills match up against the Broncos, you're going to hear me talk a lot about what you just did, Mike, which is Marvin Mims in the return game. I know it's a small piece, but that's where they're going to try and find an edge. That's where the Broncos are going to try and find an edge in this game, is special teams. The Bills special teams haven't been super buttoned up this year. They've made mistakes. They've given up big returns, kickoff especially, not as much punt. But Marvin Mims leads the league in punt return average, over 15. You can't give them shorter fields. You can't give them opportunities to get hidden yardage. That's a big nervousness for me. And then because of their pass rush, all it takes is one guy to get loose, swipe the ball out of Josh Allen, right? That could happen to any quarterback. So that would be something that would make me nervous. I'm not as much nervous about the running backs out of the backfield. I think the Bills should be okay there because I think this team does not run the ball all particularly great, and they can kind of be a little bit more zoned in on that. Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Jim in Depew. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR.
Hey, Phil. Weird question. Thinking about the game on Sunday, the crowd being involved when the defense is out on the field, I know that the defensive players can't simulate cadences, but what if the entire stadium were to? Would this be kind of equivalent to the snowballs in the Miami game, or what would happen?
How would you get that to happen? How would you get everybody to simulate a cadence? They're going to be yelling. You want them yelling at the top of their lungs, not doing a cadence.
I mean, if the wave can start, why couldn't the whole crowd start going hut-hut when they get up to the line?
I think it would be very tough to get 70,000, but that's probably, I think it would be very tough. No, I don't think it would be a penalty on the team. Do you remember? I don't know if you guys remember this. I remember at one point, this is the 90s, I believe, because I remember there was a Jim Kelly, like in a commercial, they were using him, like he wasn't like telling everybody to do this, but they were using him in the commercial to say something like, it was like, sit down, you're rocking the boat. There was like a song. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. That's what they did, this commercial. And there was a rule. There was literally a rule, Josh. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't believe the NFL did this. Thank God they got rid of it after 1 year. They had a rule that if the crowd got too loud in a home game, in a home stadium, the refs would have to say, you have to be more quiet for the visiting team to snap the ball, or they would throw a flag. I'm not kidding you. This happened in the 1990s for a year. And everybody was like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I paid my money. I want to help my team by being loud. And thank goodness the NFL changed that. Let's go to Rob in Cheektowaga. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just want to say you are the best. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm not really nervous about the game, Sal. I mean, our defense should be ready to play. I'm thinking maybe 3-4 sacks. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, that'd be great. Bo Nix, they do a really good job of protecting him. The Bills are the number one team in the NFL protecting their quarterback. Now, a lot of that is the quarterback himself, right? But they've done a great job at protecting Josh Allen. The Bills have, get this, great stat I ran across. They have allowed the lowest percentage of sacks on dropbacks. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sacks per pass attempt, the Bills are under 3%. They get sacked on less than 3% of their dropbacks. No other team is even less than 4%. That's number one. But you know who number two is? The Denver Broncos, just over 4%. So you got to get to their quarterback, and they want to get to your quarterback. But I don't know how much either team is going to do that this weekend. Let's go to Marvin on a cell phone. What's up, Marvin?
Good morning, Sal. Yep. I'm very nervous about this game, and a lot of people dismiss this, but our defense – And we've come up with all these different reasons why, and they play that too high. If they keep, and every week I wait up, man, they're going to do something different. They're going to play a little bit more, man. They're going to play up. They sit back, and this guy's going to dump the ball off to the running backs. Meanwhile, our safeties are over 15 yards back. It makes me sick to watch at times. I'll be honest with you. I'm very concerned. I think coaching, they definitely have an edge because it's. I'm just going by history. We choke when it comes down to coaching. And at the end of the day, if our defense, and this is where somebody called in and your guys were saying, one of the shows was saying how Williams, should, you know, they love Williams. You're darn right he should be on the field. Milano is one step ahead of Klein right now where he's come back. And he's not the same person. He shouldn't. Williams should be in the game. And they should be coming up with some defenses different than the same old, and that's what they do every game. I'm very worried about it. I hope I'm wrong, but it's going to be closer, in my opinion, than I think. If they play the defenses, and it's mind-boggling to me that Every week I wait for them to do something different, but they don't. And it's like death by a thousand cuts. Oh, we don't want them to go deep, but they'll take 8, 9, 10 yards in front of the safeties and corners. It's so sad to watch. It just makes me sad to watch it. But
well, you know what? It is their philosophy. They're not going to change, and it has worked. So that's why. And that's right. They don't want to get beat deep. They allowed the fifth fewest pass plays over the top of them. And in this day and age of the NFL, this isn't 1995 anymore, Marvin. I've told you that before. You know, I mean, you know, this is a different era of football that you and I grew up in. These quarterbacks are incredible. They throw over the top. And right. I get you the numbers. I give it to you. The numbers are not, like, super good. There's no doubt. But that's how you play football now. You don't let these great quarterbacks beat you. And you want to play football like you're playing in 1995 again.
Well, Sal, and here's the thing. The owners of the NFL, when they have their meetings, they got what they wanted with football today.
That's right. By the way, so wouldn't you want your coach to adjust to that and play it that way?
They put it the way they have with the pass interference,
yeah,
that the officials have such a control over the game, it's sickening. I watched a college game yesterday,
yep,
and it made me sick, some of these calls. It just, these guys are not consistent.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with what we're talking about. I got to have other calls, you know.
Well, what it has to do with is that they wanted this fast game, and they did it, yep, but now you put it in the hands of officials, and
okay,
let me say, the officiating is not consistent. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I got it. And I totally disagree with you about Matt Milano. He might not be old Matt Milano, but he processes faster than Dorian Williams, and he knows where to be. He might not be all-pro Matt Milano, I agree with you, but you shouldn't compare him to that. You should compare him to what you have on the field now with Dorian Williams, who's had a nice year. He plays fast. He gets to a spot very fast, but sometimes he's in the wrong spot before he gets there fast. And I'm not banging on Dorian Williams. I think he's had a nice year. He's a leading tackler. I think I trust Matt Milano a little bit more here in the playoff game to kind of know where to be and not get beat. But that's a tough debate, and I'll give that to you, Marvin. And it's always also a tough debate, Marvin, on how you play this. Look, they play the too high shell, and no doubt they've been too soft at times. They certainly were in a playoff game a few years ago against the Cincinnati Bengals. But man, I'm guessing, Marvin, if they went just and played a totally different defense and they got beat over the top three times, you'd be the first person to call me and say, why are they letting receivers go over the top of them? I mean, you know, you have to play these games against these opponents, and the way the game is played, I think, a little bit differently than how you envision it. And the game is, look, to me, it's the more area, it's not even the secondary. I think they've done a good job. I think the defensive line being structured and being smaller and undersized has hurt them as teams have now started to run the ball a little bit more of them. I don't care about the keeping in front. I like that. I like keeping in front, make a play, because eventually you're going to make a mistake. What I don't like is giving up too many chunk yards on the ground, because it's designed to be a defense that's lighter and more athletic. And I do think that they get taken advantage of in that area more than they get taken advantage of in their zone defense. But it's a good debate either way. You can't have it both ways, I think. I mean, you want the number one team in the league and everything they do. I think it's very, very tough. Good call. I love when Marvin calls. We have good football debates. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Buffalo Football Friday, and we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
That 60 minutes when I'm out there, I want to win. I want to win the game. I want to beat the Denver Broncos. It's all love at the end of the day, but those small 3 to 4 second bursts, I got to go through these guys to get where I want to go. And it's kind of weird, but that's just how crazy the NFL is and the universe is. So instead of trying to fight it, I just embrace it. It's a cool event, you know, to be able to play against this new and improved, you know, Denver Broncos. The last time that they made the playoffs was the last time we won a Super Bowl. So it's a full circle moment, and it's nothing but love and respect for the Denver Broncos and Broncos country for sure.
All right, that's Von Miller, and I was on a Denver radio station yesterday, and they asked me about those comments and said, are Bills fans mad that he has so much love for Denver? I'm like, no, of course not. We love the fact that Jordan Poyer has a lot of love for the Bills. He came back here as a member of the Dolphins to play in Josh Allen's charity softball game and love Bills fans and say they're the best fans in the world. He's a member of the other team. I mean, I think it speaks to Von Miller's character that he loves the team that drafted him and, you know, he played for so long. No problem whatsoever with that. He wants to win the game, and he said in those 3 to 4 second bursts, I'm going there to win the game. And yeah, so no problem with that at all. That was Von Miller. We have a ton of audio for you at our website and on our app, WGR550.com, and on the Odyssey app. Let's get to Ryan in Toronto. Then I want to touch on these coach hirings and MVP a little bit here before we get into more of the games on Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And Sean McDermott, after 11 a.m., a little bit after that, I'm thinking today, we'll get an injury update from him on the Bills. Let's go to Ryan in Toronto. Hi, Ryan.
Seattle, my man. Happy Friday.
Yep, you got
brother,
it, buddy.
Josh Allen, MVP, hands down. No questions asked. Secondly, I wonder how Sean Payne matches up with McDermott. I'm thinking about going back to Carolina days when McDermott was in Carolina as a DC and Payne was in New Orleans. Do you know what the stats were, how they were matched up?
You know, I don't have it off the top of my head. I did actually ask Sean specifically about this the other day, though, Ryan. I said, you know, you faced him a lot. What are the challenges? And he talked about all the different things they do. I'd have to go back and look at the stats. I will tell you, his first year in Buffalo, McDermott, remember the Saints came here and just blew the Bills out. That was the week before Nathan Peterman started the next game. And then you remember, though, the Bills went down to New Orleans on Thanksgiving and blew out the Saints. A couple years ago. I mean, you know, so I'm sure there's some back and forth there if you go back in their history.
But wasn't Joe Brady under Sean Payton as well?
You know, he was with the Saints, and I think he was with Sean Payton for a year or two, yes.
Yeah. I wonder how much Sean Payton knows about these guys. That's what I'm nervous about, to be honest.
How much Sean Payton knows about the Bills?
About McDermott.
Sure. I mean, like I said, I mean, there's, but yeah, sure. I mean, there's familiarity there. There's familiarity there. I would say the guy that would know more about the Bills offense might be their quarterback's coach, which is Davis Webb. He was here with the Bills for a while, but you shouldn't get too caught up in that stuff. I mean, you know, these things happen every week in the league, Ryan, right? Where these guys have these relationships and stuff.
The reason I get caught up in this stuff, to be honest, Andy Reid and McDermott in the playoffs. McDermott was, he was under Andy Reid in Philly. And That's what I'm concerned about. That's why I get caught up in this. I look at the bigger picture, and I just don't want to be outcoached, man. That's all.
It could happen. I mean, no doubt. I just don't think that there's any specific reason to think that Sean Payton has something over Sean McDermott or vice versa. I think, you know, they've faced each other a lot, and that's what happens. It's just like facing division teams, but they aren't in the same division, but they've gone against each other with, you know, offenses and defenses. So I don't. Yeah, there's that happens every week in this league, and there's always Davis Webb is a guy that would know a little bit about the Bills offense, and I'm sure he's giving intel to Sean Payton and Vance Joseph, their DC, on things that Josh Allen likes to do, doesn't like to do, what the Bills offense likes to do. He was just here a couple of years ago. There's no doubt about that. And Joe Brady, he did learn a little bit under Sean Payton, so he'll be familiar with the offense. And hey, let's remember, Ronald Curry also here. He was with the New Orleans Saints. I think with Peyton, if I have to go back, maybe not. But, you know, these things happen and they translate, you know, back and forth all the time. Thanks for the call, Ryan. 803-0550. We do have open phone lines here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. It is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. And, of course, today is a Buffalo Football Playoff Friday. The playoff game will be Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We have it covered all weekend long, and of course, Sunday morning, all your pregame festivities and talk right here on WGR. All right, MVP is done, right? I mean, all the voting is done. The writers, the voters. Somebody asked me last week, like, who votes? There's 50 votes. And I said, well, the AP. Well, it's not just the AP. There's ESPN people and analysts, and I think Dan Orlovsky has a vote. I believe I saw Aditi Kinkawabla at the game last week. She was on the sidelines for CBS. I think she told me she has a vote. Like, lots of different people have votes. Aaron Schatz has a vote. He shared his last year. He was the only person last year who voted for Josh Allen first in the MVP race. Lamar had 49 first. Josh had one last year. Aaron Schatz actually was the only one after, believe it or not, his publication, when Josh was coming out, called him a parody of an NFL quarterback prospect. I give lots of props right there and, you know, credit to Aaron Schatz for never holding on to those pre-draft biases and understanding and voting for Josh, whether he deserved it or not. Last year, you know, you think that was the right call. I think this year, Josh Allen should be the MVP. Now, look, I'm also going to tell you, I am certainly closer to the situation here, and I see what Josh Allen does for the Buffalo Bills. And from the outside perception and perspective for me, I don't think, as great as Lamar Jackson's season has been, that the Ravens have to lean on Lamar as much as the Bills have to lean on Lamar on Josh Allen. And I do think that has to be part of the equation. See, the word value is so subjective, right? That's where we get caught up in the goalposts moving. Last year, lots of Ravens fans would tell you that's not about stats. It's about how valuable you are, because Lamar Jackson didn't have the best quarterback stats. Dak Prescott was up there. Brock Purdy was up there. Josh Allen was up there. There were a lot of guys. But he won the MVP, and we heard from Ravens fans telling you because he was the most valuable, and he was so big for what they did, and his stats were great. But now, we're being told it's about stats. And look at the stats. Let's try to parse here what should matter and shouldn't matter when it comes to MVP, okay? For me. Let me tell you what should matter. Stats should matter. But they're not the end-all be-all. And the question is, what stats should matter? So you can put up a graph all you want. Say, touchdowns, interceptions, rushing yards, touchdowns. Great. What about total turnovers? What about negative plays? What about percentage of that team's offense? There are a lot of different stats. And in this day and age, we have so many stats at our fingertips that we never had before. And it's very hard for people, including me oftentimes, to really distinguish what matters and what doesn't. I think that becomes so subjective that we can turn ourselves in circles and talk ourselves in circles all the time about it. Well, this stat should matter. Here's EPA. And I respect anybody who says EPA is a really informative stat. That's expected points, right? Expected yards per drive. There's all these EP stats, expected stats. But I also respect people who say, but it's also kind of subjective. Somebody put it together, a formula that says that. It's true. It's like passer rating. Passer rating is a formula that someone put together one time. And then ESPN said, let's go QBR because that takes in these other factors that someone didn't. It's always evolving. Stats should matter. What should matter is how much your team relies on you to win games and be in position to win games. What should matter is how much your team wins. No, it is not always, and it generally isn't, a quarterback stat, wins. But if your team is relying heavily on a certain player and that team wins a lot, that says a lot about how much he helped that team win. The Bills are sitting here with 13 wins. At the end of the year, they didn't play Josh Allen. They had 13 wins. That's the record, okay? In those 13 wins, they relied a lot on Josh Allen to be a very, very big part of it. And I'm not telling you that the Ravens didn't rely on Lamar Jackson. But if you go and look at their wins and how much he threw the ball and how much he had to run the ball and what his stats during those wins, I think you could see a little bit of a difference on how the Bills had to rely on Josh. Those are things that should matter. And stats should matter. Of course they should. And Lamar Jackson has amazing stats this year. He's incredible. I would fault nobody for voting for Lamar Jackson, number one, for MVP. I don't have a vote. I would vote for Josh Allen. And admittedly, I'm here seeing it through these lenses because I see it every week on the sidelines about how valuable and great he is. Here's what shouldn't matter for MVP, okay? Let's start with who won head-to-head. Who cares? Do they play defense? Who won head-to-head? Did Lamar Jackson stop Josh Allen when they played in Baltimore? Did Josh Allen stop Lamar Jackson when they played in Baltimore? Nothing, neither quarterback had anything to do with really winning the game head-to-head against each other. For winning the game, it did, and Josh did not play a great game that day. There's games where Lamar didn't play a great game. Who started at quarterback for the Raiders? Was it Aiden O'Connell when they beat the Baltimore Ravens? Are you going to say, well, who won head-to-head? Give the MVP to Aiden O'Connell. I think it might have been him. Was it Minshew? Whatever it was. Might have been Minshew. You can't do that. Head-to-head means nothing. Stop with this. Josh Allen has beaten Patrick Mahomes head-to-head in regular season games before MVP votes had to be in every year for the last several years. Even years where Patrick Mahomes won the MVP. Means nothing. Shouldn't mean anything. You know what else should not mean anything? In context, historical achievements. He's the first quarterback to do this. He's the first quarterback to do that. Great. Now, I do think that is a good reference point for how great of a season someone had. There's no doubt about that. But you should be judged on and compared to other people that year with you, not what has happened historically. I do think it elevates you and say, wow, that's pretty special. That kind of year has to be recognized. Let's look at everyone else did, though. Did other people do that same thing that year? And then you bring into all the other things I said should matter about MVP. It definitely shouldn't matter historic franchise records, right? I mean, yes, again, a good reference point tells you how nice of a season someone's having. That is not what the MVP should be about. It is the 2024 most valuable player this year. It is not the Lifetime Achievement Award most valuable player. I've heard people say, well, the only argument for Josh Allen is he's never won one. Bull. That is not the only argument. The argument is right in front of you what I said. When it comes down to is his team, the Buffalo Bills, has leaned on him as much, or I would say more than any team has leaned on one player this year. And he still put up incredible numbers and won 13 games. That's what it comes down to for me. I'm just tired of the back and forth of trying to parse through all these things that don't matter, especially this head-to-head junk. How dumb is that? Who won head-to-head? I mean, okay. What did the, let's see who the Ravens lost to this year. Oh yeah, but there's the game again. Oh, let's give it to Russell Wilson. He beat Lamar Jackson head-to-head. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's have some common sense. Also in the coach hiring circle, we need some common sense. I'll talk about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. On a Buffalo Football Friday, Sean McDermott scheduled for just after 11 a.m. to give us an injury update as well. Yeah, I really wanted to talk about this segment, you know, the coaching hiring cycle and things like that, because I do think there's a point in here about how it works and what's fair and right. And I think it's getting complicated for a lot of people to not see it from a different lens. So I'd like to do that, but maybe not time right now here in the next couple of minutes, because we got to hit a timeout here and hit a break on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, because we want to be ready for Sean McDermott when he eventually calls. So that should be a little bit after 11 a.m. here on WGR. All right, so let's just reset the day for you, reset what's going on. Of course, it is Broncos at Bills. It is Sunday at 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. In case you didn't hear what I said earlier today when I opened the show, Broncos, from my understanding, are actually traveling to Buffalo late tonight. Sean Payton, their head coach, is very much about sports science, body clocks, rest, recovery, things like that. So they'll be coming in tonight for a Sunday 1 p.m. game, which is actually an 11 a.m. game Mountain Time, which is what the Broncos normally play on. They also have an extra flight booked out of Denver for fans to come to Buffalo. So expect some fans coming in for the Denver Broncos this Sunday. Shouldn't matter, though, as far as the crowd level and noise. It should be unbelievable at Highmark Stadium on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m., especially with Kyle Williams, the legend of the game, who will be firing up the crowd by doing the right here, right now. And the chant before the game is going to be amazing. He's going to get everybody into it. Maybe he even talks to the team before the game. I'll ask Sean McDermott if that's the plan, to have Kyle in to talk to the team and say hi to people, maybe even give him a pregame speech. So we'll have the Bills head coach for you after this timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Playoff Football Friday.